All right, we're going to talk tonight about another attribute of God, and we're going to go to John chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm going to read there. I'm going to read in John 5. I'm going to read in Genesis 2. Got several other verses to read. My wife is always on me about slowing down and giving the reverences when I'm preaching. I know I give them real fast and keep going. I'm always trying to hurry because I know I'm taking too long. But anyway, let's read John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, if you slow down and read that verse and think about it, you get some real important information there and truth. God is life. That's a pretty important thing, life is. Yeah. Don't you think? Life. Where would we be without life? Well, let me give you the scripture. John 5, verse 26. John 5, 26. The Bible says here, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." All right, now, all the way back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So without the breath of God giving life, your body is nothing but dust. That's right. Said one place in the Psalms that he remembereth that we are but dust. That's all we are. God remembers that. This body that we live in, it's a thing. But it's what's in it. All right, now I'm going to say a bunch of things here about this, and then we'll try to get out of here as quick as we can. But bow with me. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Please help us, Lord, as we think about this simple truth here for just a few minutes. Please bless and help, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, life is more than mechanical or physical processes. They're doing all they can to search for life on Mars. They're really focused on that place. They're sure there's got to be life there. And they've just searched and spent billions upon billions of dollars and countless hours of work sending spacecraft over there and doing research and trying to find if they could just find one little germ or anything to prove that there was life there. What is this deal? I mean, that's the whole purpose of NASA and all the space program and all their efforts to get out there and find out about these other planets and stuff. That's the whole thing. They're searching for life. Why? Because God, in Him is life, and they want to disprove that. It's the rebellion of man. You know, I've always been fascinated with space exploration and all of that. I have. It's always fascinating to me, still is, that they can do that, that they can send something out there and look back at the Earth. You know, there's a picture I saw a year or two ago where they had this spacecraft orbiting Saturn. And it showed one picture looking under the rings of Saturn and a little blue speck like a star, and that was Earth. And it is an awesome picture to look at that, and everything that man knows about that ever happened on that little old blue speck there. All the kings, all the wars, all the ever birth that ever was, every wedding, everything that ever happened. That's the little speck where Jesus Christ was born and came and lived and died and rose again. That little speck. It's all amazing. Yeah, it is. But I really do believe that it's not God behind the space program. I don't believe that's it at all. I believe that it is a tool that Satan is using to try to convince man that life is not in God. If they could find and prove, and that's what they're going to hoist on this world, mark her down, I'm telling you today, that before this thing's all over, that's what they're going to do. It's going to be the big lie that they hoist on the population of this earth, is that they have found life elsewhere. Maybe even civilization, intelligent life elsewhere. That'll throw God right out, they think. That's the plan. So I believe the devil is in it. I sure do. God gave man dominion over the earth, not the moon, not even the moon, let alone the stars and the heavens. They tried to build a tower to reach to heaven one time. God stopped them dead in their tracks. Tower of Babel confused their languages and put a stop to it because they were reaching outside. They were crossing the boundaries that God had set. They were like the cattle that tried to get out of the fence, Raymond. You build a fence to keep them in, and they'll find a hole to get through, and they're out. And that's the way men are. They don't want to obey the boundaries and honor and live inside the boundaries. They want to have more. The earth is man's dominion. And there's places on earth that man has never been yet. And yet he's reaching out to the stars and the heavens and dreaming of conquering the whole place. He still thinks just like they want to claim to be so civilized and so advanced and so intelligent, but they think just like the medieval people thought. If we could get to Mars, it's ours. They think there's life out in those other planets, but they still think in their mind that if we could get there, we can claim it's ours. They're just like the old colonial people and stuff. You know, you get there and plant your flag, it's yours. No matter who's there first. See what I mean? It never crosses their mind. If they get there, there's people selling lots on Mars, and dumb people are buying them. Well, who gave you the right to sell that property? You know, you goofballs believe there's Martians living there. What about them? They might object to that, you reckon? All right, life is more than mechanical or physical processes, and that's where man has come without God. He thinks that life is nothing more than just chemical processes. It's like a machine that runs. That's what they think life is. But life is not that at all. Men who are made in the image and likeness of God create, but they cannot give life. Now Seth, he's got pretty good. He can take a saw and some tools and carve out bears and turkeys and deer and fish and turtles and all kinds of stuff. And there's artists and sculptors that can make stuff just very realistic. They're making robots now that you can hardly tell that they're not human. They're so realistic looking. But they are dead as a doorknob. There is no life in them. Even though they move, even though they see, even though they hear, even though they process some kind of a thought with their computer brain, they're not alive. They're not alive. You can't give life to anything you carve, Seth. Men have always done that. Everywhere that you find where man has trod on this earth, you're going to find little things that he's carved out, things that he's drawn on the wall of a cave or on a piece of paper or on a rock. He's always creating. He's made in the image and likeness of God. Man just has to do that. It's in him. He has to make something that looks like what he sees, looks like himself, or looks like something that he's dreamed up in his imagination. But he cannot give life to anything. Men make images of things and creatures that they see or they imagine, but those images do not have life. And men make machines that mimic the processes of life, but those machines are not alive, like the robots I just mentioned. More and more, men are trying to backward engineer and replicate the things that God has made and surrounded man with. All this DNA research and everything, and man, And you know, a lot of the things that man invents, in fact, most of them, he searches in the animal kingdom and in the seas, and he backward engineers what God has created. I hadn't heard about it in a while, but when the computers were being advancing, so they were talking about making computer screens with organic stuff in it, and there was a letter abbreviation for it, an acronym, and I can't remember what it was, but they were searching the colors, and you know where they were finding them? In fish, in the ocean, and other creatures down on the bottom of the ocean. There's all kinds of creatures that create light. They light up. And they were figuring out how this creature was doing that, and then they were reproducing it to make a machine that would do the same thing, see? Now man would never know how to do it if there wasn't something for him to copy. And man can copy what a creature does, and he can take him apart, and he can use the parts to do different things with, but he cannot replicate this creature that's alive. Anything that's alive, man cannot duplicate it. He can make a statue of it. He can make a carving of it. He can paint a picture of it. He can even make a model of it that moves and does, you know, but it is not alive. He can't give life to it. More and more men are trying to backward engineer everything. But see, carnal man who is unregenerate cannot see beyond the physical. And he supposes that everything that exists must be defined and understood by the physical world, physics, and the understanding of the physical world, which is physics, that he has. See, the natural man. He only lives in a physical world. He has a physical body. And he thinks then that that's all there is. He doesn't know God. He's not aware of God in reality. So that's what we got. Humanism, we call it. God, man is God. There's nothing higher. I mean, we're the deal. We can create. We can do. But man can't create life. They, every once in a while, they're putting it on the news and everything. Life created in a lab. And you read it, it's not true. They just use that for a headline so you'd read the article. So they can try to brainwash you a little more about how smart men are, that they're really not. They've not created life. They're not even close to it. They cannot do it because God is life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. As the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Luke chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus told us that. The life is more than meat. Just because you got a body that moves, that's not where the life is. Life is independent and separate from the body. Now think about this. I'm telling you the truth. Life is separate from your body. For a body to contain a life, there are certain vital things that must work properly. Your body is the tent. It's the tabernacle. If this tabernacle be dissolved, he's talking about, that's your body. Your physical body that you can reach down there and feel of right now. Now, it's got to work right. Or the life cannot live in that body. The life that's in me, my soul, I'm looking through these eyes. These eyes don't see very good, but I can still see a little bit, so I ain't dead. This life can still function in a body that don't have any arms or legs or eyes or maybe ears. You can still live in it. But that body, there's a threshold, there's a minimum where that body has to function for that soul, that living soul, to stay in it. But the life is separate from the body. The body is designed to host life. God formed man of the dust of the ground. He did that first. God made Adam from the dust of the ground. This is not a deal where God just said, let there be a man. He said, let there be light and the sun and all of that. He created the sun and the stars and all of that. But when it come to a man, he didn't do that. He formed man from the dust of the earth. But then he breathed into that man the breath of life and he became a living soul. So the body is designed to host life. But when the body is damaged or some vital part fails from disease or weakness, the life will not remain in the body. Now that is the result of sin. I believe God created these bodies to live forever. He didn't mean for us to die. That wasn't a part of the creation. And I think Rodney told us one time he went to some class. It was a EMT class or something, and that was one of the professors or teachers there that wasn't even a Christian made that statement that these bodies of ours are designed to live forever. There's no reason why they shouldn't live forever because of the regenerative powers and everything that's it's made. But there's some reason that they age and wear out and grow weak and brittle and die. They become uninhabitable for our soul. You outgrow this thing. It wears out on you. Now, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 5:6. And then he says in verse 8 of that same chapter, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, the body stops working, but the life continues. Now, see, we know that. The world has tried to convince itself that that's not true, that when your body stops working, you're dead like a dog and you cease to exist. I mean, the lights just go out and that's it for you. It's as if you never existed because you're gone. And at the same time, they'll stumble over one another to get to where they can buy a book or see a movie about somebody that says they died and they were brought back. And they got a story to tell about all they seen while they were dead, and they wasn't really dead. Because when you're dead, you're dead. Death, by the dictionary definition, means there is no hope, no chance of resuscitation. I don't believe a word of these things where people die and they get to heaven and God tells them, oh, you got to go back, and they see all these things and all of that. No. But there is absolutely proof that you keep living after your body's dead. Y'all hear me? You're not. I mean, you go to sleep, you'll go home tonight, you get into bed, you go to sleep, and you won't know nothing till you wake up. But while you're sleeping, you're dreaming, ain't you? Oh, yeah. There's something that's alive there. Sleep is a picture of death. It really is. Every day, we're reminded that we're going to die and be resurrected. We wake up in the morning and we don't remember anything since we went to sleep last night, but we're not dead. The body turned off, but the life didn't cease. No. The life that dwelt in that body is simply separated from this physical realm. But it's still very much alive in another realm of existence. See, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The life that's in God is the light of men. You'd have never saw the light without life. You got to have life to see the light. Does this sound complicated to you? We talk about the lights going out. Well, we reference that to being dead, you know, or going to sleep. But life does not require a body, except in this earthly realm that most people consider to be all there is. You're not going to need a body after you die and you're present with the Lord. You're not going to need a body. God's a spirit. Then to worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, remember? You're not going to have a body. You only have to have a physical body to live in this world. There's not ghosts floating around through the air in this world. You can't live in this world without a body that's able to host your soul. So it's not necessary. Life doesn't require a body. Well, that's a comfort to me. Because this body's going to die. Probably not very long, considering the whole scheme of things. Can't be very long. I mean, I'm about to get my first Social Security check. I hope I live long enough to do that. Life is the essence of our being and our existence. Life is what makes physical bodies work. The life is what makes the body work. When we go to the funeral home and we look at a person's body who has passed, what is the striking thing, the thought that strikes you more than anything when you look at somebody who's laying there in the coffin dead? They're absent. Something missing. They're not here. I watch people struggle with this. People who really don't have this understanding and they don't know nothing about God, and they really struggle with it because that body is what they focus their affection on, and they're attached to that body. And they take the body and they go put it in the ground out in the cemetery, and they can't stay away from there. They're just there all the time to try to be close to the one they've lost. And that's really sad to me because they don't understand this. The life is not in the body is not the life. The life doesn't need a body. If you understand this and you love another person, you love them, not their body. The body shrivels up. The body gets sick. The body loses its attraction. It loses its health, its abilities. You know, boy, bad things happen to this body. So if your love and affection requires that, then you're in for a big disappointment. If you can see beyond that and realize this truth that we're talking about here tonight, well, it'll make life much better for you. Life is the essence of our being. It's what makes the physical body work. And it is something that has not been isolated in a lab. They can't even identify life. All they can do is observe it. They can't identify it. They can't pull something apart and say, now here is life. Can they? They know if something is alive, but they can't identify life. And that's why they're having such a hard time finding it on Mars and anywhere else. They're looking for living creatures because that's all they know to look for. They don't even know how to identify life unless it's in a body that is functioning. Y'all understanding any of that? Life itself is something beyond the comprehension and reach of the mind of man. See, we can't even really comprehend this. God is life. God is life. And we can't really comprehend what life is. We can say some things here that will help us. There are qualities or characteristics of life whose source cannot be found in physical, fleshly bodies. Now, did you hear me? There's some qualities. There's some characteristics of life whose source cannot be found in physical, fleshly bodies. We count life as a heartbeat. We count life as brain function, you know. If your brain is sending off electrical impulses, they say you're alive. If it's not, they say you're dead. If your heart's beating, they say you're alive. If your heart ain't beating, they say you're dead. And all that's out the window if you're talking about a baby in the womb. Heartbeat in a womb, they don't consider life, but a caterpillar, or what do you call them, a little old crusty bug in a rock, is life. If they could find one germ on Mars, they'd declare that life exists on other planets. But they can look at a baby in a womb that's got arms and legs and fingers and toes and fingernails and eyes and a heart beating and a brain that's working and say it ain't life. It's not life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:4. Life is light. The lights are on, and we can see. If you're alive, you can see. Even if you're blind in these eyes, if you're alive, you can see. You remember the story about the person telling his roommate in the nursing home or whatever it was, he was by the window and he would describe what it looked like outside to the blind roommate. And he was making it all up. But they were seeing. You know, Fanny Crosby wrote all these hymns. Blind since being an infant, she was blind, but she could see. You all understand that? Yes. It doesn't take eyes to see. It doesn't take a body to be alive. This is just a temporary thing, living in a body. Life manifests awareness of others. Life manifests awareness of others. Awareness of God. Awareness of the world around us. That's one of the things about life, is that you are conscious of your existence. And you're conscious of others, the existence of others. You're aware. I mean, you look around you, you're aware that you're alive. We know we're alive right now. You're listening to me. This is life. There's life in this room because there's life in these bodies. We're not just looking at a bunch of bodies. There's much more than that here. And where did it come from? It came from God. You look at these little ones, and that's what it amazes me. The older I get, the more it amazes me. You look at these little babies. You know, there's two more here on the way, here in this room. But what a miracle. What a miracle of God. Where do they come from? We were talking about it the other day. The only, and I read somewhere this week, somebody talking about it, but said these little children that ask, where do babies come from? There's only one answer if you've got any sense to give them. They come from God. God gives them to us. And that's what the Bible says. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. What a miracle that you got a little child that came out of nowhere. And they're alive. And they're aware. And they're learning. And they're seeing. And they're feeling a life. I mean, don't that fascinate you that it's a new life? Men don't create that. No, it's just a blessing that God, in His goodness and mercy, bestows on us. And you ought to wonder at it, at life. Ain't it amazing? Life manifests faith by the awareness of things that we can't see with our eyes or sense with our physical senses. Now, if you're here tonight and you are a child of God, and even if you're not, you still know that there are things that are just as real as this pulpit that you do not see with your eyes, that you cannot touch with your hands. that you can't feel with your other senses. But they're real. We know that there are things that are beyond our immediate little circle of where our senses can sense. We live on a world that's 24,000 miles in circumference. We know that. It's 8,000 miles in diameter. That's what we're sitting on, the earth. Now, we know that. I've not been all over the earth. I hadn't searched it all out and walked all over it and said, yep, that's right. It's here. Lots of places that all of us have never been. But we know they're there, don't we? We've never seen them. How do we know they're there? Well, by faith. Somebody else told us they were there. We've seen pictures that somebody took in those other places. Life manifests itself by faith. Faith. We see things that we don't see. That's one of the reasons you know your life. Oh, well. Feelings and emotions are evidences of life. These are not physical processes, but issues of the soul or the life. You don't love with your physical body. Nope. That's an issue of the soul. That's something that the life in you does. Not the tent you live in. Feelings and emotions. Joy, sadness, fear, love, hope, and despair, and all of those things. Where there is life, there will be desire and a will to do, a will to have, a will to accomplish things. That's life. That's where those things come from. They come from life, desire. You can't build a robot and put desire in it. It's a machine. It's a thing. It doesn't have desire. People blame all their sin on their physical body, but your body is not what desires. It's your soul that lusts. Bible says so. It's not your fleshly body. It's your soul. The lust and all that, where does it come from? What did Jesus say? Where does it come from? Out of your heart. And he ain't talking about this ticker in your chest. He's talking about the life that is in you. Your soul. No matter how close man might come to duplicating what God has created, he cannot put life into it because life has awareness, feelings, emotions, desire, and faith. It would still just be a thing. A machine that operates according to what it's programmed to do. Don't be deceived. I mean, this is kind of important because you kids and everybody here, you're young. And you're living in this world where they're trying to deceive you with this stuff. They're making machines that are so realistic, so similar to living things. And I read all the time where the robot's going to take over the world and all this stuff. You know, they've got this AI and everybody's scared to death of it because it's so much more than we are. And they're fooling you. They can't put life into those things. Men can make machines. It'll turn around and kill him. Yeah, I believe that. But they're not alive. AI is artificial intelligence. And you know that's more than what a lot of people got, I'll tell you for sure. And I read the little saying, it said artificial intelligence is no match for natural stupidity. And that's the truth too. But it's not life. No matter what it can do. You know, I was talking to a guy that comes and buys lumber from him once in a while, and he was telling me about his little drone he's got. And he probably paid a pretty penny for it, but he was explaining to me how, you know, he can just turn it loose, and it'll automatically avoid power lines, trees, any obstacle. It intelligently finds its way. You put a target, you tell it to go over here and fly at this altitude, and it'll fly around whatever it has to fly around to get there. It ain't going to run into nothing. But that is artificial intelligence. Right. Don't get to thinking, man, that thing's alive. It's not alive. It's a robot. It don't feel. It don't have emotions. It don't have desires. It's just a tool to play out some person's desires that's really alive. All right, God is life. Let me say these few things here and I'll quit. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. That's in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. God is life. Can't have life without God. Even people who are not regenerated, even people who hate God, even people who deny God and say that He doesn't exist, their life is from God. Their life depends upon God. God can remove their life. God can give life. And God gave them life. Or they wouldn't even be thinking. They wouldn't even be able to deny God. They wouldn't even be aware of anything. They wouldn't exist. This is the answer to the question that has stumped scientists and worldly thinkers since the beginning. This is the answer to all the questions. God is life. They're not going to agree to that. They're not going to submit to that. They're not going to accept it. They're looking for life in another way. They've defined it in their own terms. And their terms are way below the bar. They're not looking for real life. They're looking for a creature that's alive. And boy, they can be fooled real easy. A robot could fool them. They don't know what they're looking for, really. We know that God is life. All life comes from God. The life of God that's in God is the light of men. It's the light. David said that He was His light and His salvation. David said Thou art my life. I mean, everything about God, life, light, that's where it comes from. God is the source of life, and all life flows from the source, which is God Himself. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, John chapter 1, verse 4. Genesis 2, 7. And I read this in the beginning. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Just like that. Just like that. That's the way it happened. There was no life. No man alive until God done that. There were other things living, but God had imparted life to them also. All the creatures, all the plants and trees and herbs and everything, the fish and the birds, and all the creatures. Their life comes from God. God's able to make them live. It's the same way with the animals and all of the creatures. Their body has to be able to host that life, or they die. There's no life. And He said unto me, all life has its beginning and end in God. And here's the verse, Revelation 21 and verse 6. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Eternal life. Whatever is in the presence of God lives. That's why you want to be around God. That's why you want to be in His presence. That's why you want to be sure that you're in His presence in eternity. Because everything that's in the presence of God lives. Jesus never came into contact with a dead person without their coming to life again. You can read through the Gospels. That's what you'll find. He ran into that buyer that time. They had a dead person in there. Well, that ended the funeral. Jesus said, rise. Had a young girl named Tabitha. He said, she's dead. He said, she's asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. And he put him out. He took her by the hand and said, Tabitha, arise. And she got up. Everywhere Jesus went, the dead came back to life. Nobody stayed dead around him. Why? Because in him is life. He told Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? I'm the life. Get around him, you ain't going to be dead. Being, let me find it here. All right. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He's talking about life there. And God can raise up children to Abraham out of these stones. Don't count your physical body as anything necessary to God. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Luke 19:40. Remember that Jesus was coming in? The people were rejoicing and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they said, please, you know, make them shut up. Stop this nonsense. Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Wherever he's at, there's life. I mean, do you believe he told them the truth? This is Christ coming into Jerusalem. And they said, you know, be quiet. Stop that praising him and all that. And Jesus said, you can't stop him. The stones will cry out if they won't. I think it's wonderful. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me read Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Very familiar verse. I quote it often. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. Life lived. Life. That's what we're talking about here. God is life. You're aware. You're listening to me, kind of, sort of. Somebody about to go to sleep. Think, boy, is he going to get done? We got to go home. We got to go home and eat something. But you're aware. You're not unconscious. Why are you able to hear me? Why are you able to take another breath? Why does your heart just keep a beating? Why you got any hope for the future and that you're looking forward to anything? I mean, why? Because of God. God is going to give you life. That's what your hope is. Everybody hopes for that. Everybody thinks that they're going to live a long time. And they're going to do this. And they're going to go there. And they're going to do this over here. And they're going to have this. Not if God don't give you life. So really what you ought to do is be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You ought to be seeking God. If you want life, you ought to be seeking God. Because there ain't no life outside of God. Amen. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. This is the record that God hath given us life, and this life is in his Son. How can you live without Jesus? How can you? Oh, you can live a few years on this earth, but that's going to be the end of it. What's eternal death? Yes. All right, one more verse. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Wow. That kind of narrows it down, don't it? God is life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And then it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Boy, that narrows it down pretty simple, don't it? I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. People who are without God are dead in trespasses and sins. They're, like one preacher preached one time, they're dead men walking. Dead men walking. Alive, so to speak, but under the death sentence, and nothing beyond that. Nothing in the future but eternal death. You want to live? You want to really live? You got to have Jesus. In him is life. If you, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. All right, I'll stop. Let's stand. We preached this morning on the blood. And the blood is the life of the flesh. You know, it represents the life, the blood. And Jesus gave his life for us. Think about that. He died that we might live. So, in him is life. In his death, we have life. Well, I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad I've lived. You've heard about people who said, and Job said at one time, it'd been better if he'd have never been born, if he'd have never seen light, he said. Well, it's not really true. Everybody wonders why God, they accuse God of being evil because he don't stop this thing. If he can really, if that's the way it is, and people who are born and die without him go to hell, why don't he put a stop to this? Well, because there's much more good coming out of it than what you realize. God knows what he's done. When you have children, you need to realize the potential and what's at stake here. A child that's going to grow up. It's a soul. That's the thing that dawned on me when our children were born. I just thought, my, it's a soul. This is a soul, a never-dying soul. That can spend eternity with God forever. And then you feel that weight of responsibility. That how that is so much dependent on what you do with them. While they're under your care. Just remember, life. God is life. And he's the source of everything. I mean, I don't know how to verbalize it. I don't know how to say it. But I'm aware that right now, I wouldn't even know that I exist unless God had given me life. I mean, I realize that the only reason that I can talk to you now, the only reason I can look at you and see you and know that I'm 62 years old and what year it is and what planet I'm on and all of this, it's because God breathed into me life and gave me a chance to live and a place to live and people to love and people to be a blessing to or otherwise. And I know that I'm responsible to him because he's given me this opportunity, and I'll answer for everything I do with my life that he gave me. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth. I wish it could be clear. I wish we could think on it deeper. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to remember these things that we've said. Please go with us now. Help us through the week. And Lord, provide, meet needs. Lord, heal and comfort and direct. And please help us and give wisdom to us all. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.